Employers added fewer jobs than expected last month. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Amy Scott, in for David Brancaccio. The pace of hiring slowed significantly in June. According to payroll processor ADP, private sector employers added just 158,000 jobs for the month, down from 230,000 in May. Jay Bryson is managing director and global economist at Wells Fargo Securities. Jay, what do you make of this report? Not as strong as expected?
No, not, you know, quite as strong as expected, but still, you know, 158,000 during the month, still a pretty solid sort of number. And, you know, as a matter of fact, you know, we're at the point now, given the demographics in the country, that if you continue to do 158,000 per month, that's going to continue to bring the unemployment rate down over time. So it may be a little bit disappointing, but in general, this is, I would consider this to be a solid sort of number.
And, of course, tomorrow we get the big jobs report from the Labor Department. What will you be looking for there?
Well, you know, obviously, you know, you're going to be looking at the headline sort of number in terms of the non-farm payrolls. We'll also be looking at the unemployment rate, which right now is at 4.3%. But really, kind of more of the focus in the market is becoming more in terms of the measures of wage inflation, particularly the average hourly earnings, both the month-on-month and the year-over-year. Because the focus of the market is really starting to turn towards, you know, are we starting to see signs of wage inflation and what sort of effects that will have for the overall inflation rate.
And what's the trend with wage inflation?
If you go back 2 years ago, average hourly earnings year-over-year rate was below 2%. So in that sense, it has trended up. But so far this year, it's actually kind of has stabilized a little bit. Earlier this year, it was almost close to 3% on a year-over-year basis, and we're at 2.5 right now. Market's looking tomorrow for an increase of 2.6 on a year-over-year basis. Anything higher than that, I think, would lead to some concern that maybe the Fed would start to raise its pace of monetary tightening going forward.
Jay Bryson with Wells Fargo Securities, thank you.
Thanks, Amy.
Federal regulators have posted the latest living wills of 8 of the biggest U.S. banks, laying out how those banks would unwind in the case of another financial crisis. If the plans don't pass muster, regulators can sanction the banks or even break them up. Marketplace's Marielle Segarra joins me from our studios in New York. Marielle, remind us how these living wills came about.
So during the financial crisis, the big banks were considered too big to fail. The government ended up spending $700 billion bailing them out. So the point of the living will is to make sure that doesn't happen again. Every 2 years, the banks have to lay out exactly how they would wind down at no cost to taxpayers if they did go bankrupt.
And how do banks tend to do on these, I guess you could call them tests?
Well, of the 8 banks that are considered systemically important by the government, the 8 ones that submitted living wills in July 2015, 5 failed, including Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and JP Morgan Chase. Some of the reasons were legal. Others were about governance and liquidity. Now the banks are going for another round. The Federal Reserve and the FDIC will look over their latest plans, and we'll hear from them after that.
Marketplace's Marielle Segarra, thanks. The commercial auto insurance industry has taken a big hit lately. Insurers lost more than $700 million last year on claims involving trucks and other commercial vehicles. And those losses are translating to higher premiums for businesses. Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
After the 2008 economic crash and for years afterwards, Americans drove less. Hillary Rowan of law firm Sedgwick specializes in insurance. She says with the economy booming again, driving is up. And truckers and van drivers log more hours than most.
In the last few years, mileage has increased to record heights. The more miles cars travel, the more accidents they have, all other things being equal.
But she says they're not equal. Distracted driving, thanks to cell phone fiddling at the wheel, plays a big part in accidents today. Road deaths and injuries shot up in 2016. Trucking firms have been targeted in lawsuits. And commercial insurers have been flooded with claims.
Insurers are paying out 108 cents for every dollar of premium they take in.
As a result, they're raising premiums or dropping coverage altogether. Chad McGee is a claims advocate at risk management company Pritchard & Jordan. He says to keep their premiums down, more trucking firms are turning to technology to monitor driver behavior, cameras that are triggered by things like speeding or braking sharply.
Once, where it was just large trucking companies that were using these technologies to try to curb accidents, it's now moving down to small and middle market businesses as well.
But drivers themselves don't always welcome the move.
They feel like Big Brother's watching, their employer doesn't trust them, this is invasive.
Still, he says, when technology proves they're not at fault in an accident, they're converted. Veteran trucker Monty Wiederhold is still keeping his distance from these systems.
I've been on the road almost 40 years myself, and I drive, you know, on a fairly regular basis.
He owns a small fleet in Ohio. He and his drivers haul steel. He's had to switch insurers recently, and yes, his rate has gone up a little. He says experienced drivers help keep accidents and premiums down. His insurance firm has always insisted on at least 2 years' experience.
Everybody that I've ever hired has probably had a minimum of 5 or 6 years' experience. You know, they've already been through a lot of the situations on the road.
Attorney Hillary Rowan agrees good training and experience help, but she says the biggest driver of rising insurance rates is the sheer number of hours truckers and everyone else are spending on the road. And that, she says,
will be baked in until we have the next recession.
I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Shares of auto parts retailer O'Reilly Automotive are up a little this morning after a big drop yesterday. The company reported weaker than expected sales, blaming the mild winter weather for reducing demand for repairs. More things break in the cold. Analysts also blame lower consumer confidence among the do-it-yourself crowd. In Washington, I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.